T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Here it is, Overnight America. All right, so we got 3 hours tonight, and then I'm out on vacation for the next week. Oh, boy. Gotta say, I'm pretty excited for that. But let's have some fun tonight. And this hour, we're going to talk to Dylan Thuris. And he's got a book called Atlas Obscura. He was in St. Louis today. He was talking about his book. He did a trivia thing. But in fact, he was visiting some of those really unique places in St. Louis. And the place that he went to go visit that he was told is a must visit. It was one of the places highlighted in his book was the City Museum. So right before we went to the break, you know, I'm trying to make the point. There's something that is very sacred in a lot of different homes. It's the thermostat. And you know what? I will do anything to make my wife happy. I will do anything to give her the life that she deserves. But if she says turn the thermostat on in October,
but I won't do that.
I won't do that. Not putting the therm. I'm not turning the heat on. Not a chance. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. How about we just play Meatloaf songs for the next hour? Well, I'm not turning the thermostat. And that's 100%. If you are the man of the house, if you don't want to turn that thermostat on, if you don't want to turn the heat on, you don't do it. And guess what? It is way too early to do that. Way too early. Got to put your foot down sometimes. 436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. Let me get to Larry. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Ryan, to answer your question, my wife and I have a Christmas tree up all year round.
Whoa. Why do you do that?
What's that?
Why do you decide to leave the Christmas tree up all the year round?
It's just festive.
Oh, no, Larry, your phone cut out. Aw, it gets festive, he said. He likes that Christmas. Larry, if you want to call back, you can. Your phone cut out there. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let's see. And I had a text message come in, and you wonder why you've been sick. No, I don't think that's the reason I was sick. I feel like it's my kid bringing germs into the house. I was never sick, and I've always been like this in the past. Let me go to John in Florissant. Hi.
Hey, how you doing there, Mr. Rucker? Let me ask you a question there. Do you think the Democrats, with their ultra liberal ideology, like this, what is this? They want a Betancourt wants to ban churches or stop churches from existing because they don't support gay marriage. I mean, do the Democrats think they're really going to win the election against Trump? If they're going to, that's the only thing they can run on. They want to strip churches of their right to exist.
They've always tried to minimize the role of the church in today's society. In fact, they try to take what are deeply held religious beliefs and say that they try to make it so you're going to be punished by having those beliefs and standing by those beliefs. And if you think about how this country has operated and was founded in all these years, and the way that we've been able to have our own deeply held religious beliefs and not be threatened by the government through fines or through punishment or through jail, it separates this country from many others that still don't have those freedoms. And you know what? For someone to come in and for Beto O'Rourke and them to go out there and suggest we should take those freedoms away is so absurd that even other Democrats were saying that's insane. So it's not a popular thought, but you know what? In the progressive world, it's one that they like to throw out there.
Well, let me throw this out at you there. If you own a gun, and let's say by chance the Democrats take control or whatever the presidency or whatever they were going to take control. Say they take control and they will come to your house and they say, we're taking your guns away from you because it's illegal. We're passing laws against, you know, arming yourself to protect yourself. How would you defend that against, you know, government intrusion or versus the Second Right Amendment? Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, John. You know, and when people say, and I don't want to get too into this right now, but when people say, you know, there's going to be another civil war, it's not going to be based on racial issues that we have in this country. I think it's going to be based on some really strong constitutional issues. Like, I think there are so many legal and law-abiding gun owners, if they were to say the Second Amendment was no more, you do not have the God-given right to bear arms, and it doesn't matter what type of arm that is, we're going to do a buyback program, a.k.a. a involuntary buyback program, which is you're forced to give your guns back into the government. I think there would be so many people that don't participate in that. And if it got to the point where government agencies and police and whoever it may be trying to enforce whatever unconstitutional law or whatever change was made in the intermediate point, I think that's what would start the Civil War, honestly. I think it would be people rising up to protect their rights is the thing that would start it. So that's a whole different topic. I'm glad you called in. Here's the thing. It's the last show of the week. I don't care what you call in on. We get the opportunity to air our grievances, to talk about those things that you've had on your mind, but you haven't had an opportunity to bring up. That's why we have this show on Thursday nights. That and I'm paid to be here. Two big reasons why we do that. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let's go to Jacob in Kansas. Hi.
Ryan, what's going on, brother?
Hey, man.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you again. I heard you talking about the thermostat earlier, and oh man, let me tell you, that's no pun intended. It's something that gets me heated right away.
All right, so do you have the heater turned on right now?
Actually, I don't.
Okay, good. All right, you got to hold on.
I've had it turned on twice so far this year, and I live in an apartment complex that was built in 1963.
Mm-hmm.
And my unit happens to be facing the south, and I don't know if you've heard about Kansas or not, but during the during October, late November, the wind starts to switch around and come from the north.
Hmm.
So that's where that bitter choppy stuff comes in from. But I've had one night that it got down to 33 here,
mm-hmm.
and it was 45 during the day.
Mm-hmm.
That same day, I came home from work. I worked a 10-hour shift that day at O'Reilly's, and I came home. It was still 71 degrees in my apartment, and the heat had been off all day.
All right, perfect. See, you got nothing to complain about. That's pretty good.
Oh no. But and then my roommate. I've got a roommate that I love. I mean, he's a great guy. But mm-hmm. when I'm out of the house and it is an inch below 60, he has that heater set on 75.
Oh, no. He doesn't even care.
Nope. I told him, I was like, hey, dude, if you get cold, you know, kick the heat on for maybe 30, 45 minutes, you know, warm the place up a little bit. But apparently he had it on from about 2 o'clock to 10 o'clock that night, blasting its butt off, you know.
Oh, man. Well, Jacob, you got to find alternate ways to heat that place up then to be a little bit more efficient. I don't know how much it costs to heat the apartment up. I'm going to guess it's not a giant apartment, so it probably doesn't cost a ton. But when you're talking about buildings in the 1960s, I'm going to guess it's not too efficient, so it probably does take extra time.
Oh, yeah, those windows. But for a matter of fact, I mean, I was born in 1997, but I know that these are the original windows with this complex because
single pane.
They don't even open. Oh yeah.
Oh, you're in trouble. Yeah. All right. They don't even open.
No. They don't even open, you know, maybe 12 inches, you know.
Oh, I see. All right, Jacob, fight the good fight, man. Thanks.
I'll do my best.
All right, bye. All right, from Kansas, I'm telling you. No way. When the wife comes up and says, hey, can we turn on the heat for love? I start singing this to her. anything except turn the thermostat up right about now. I will not do that. Sorry, honey. You know, there's a new book out by Dylan Thuris called Atlas Obscura. I had a good conversation with him. We'll talk to Dylan, his adventure here in St. Louis, but he looks at some of those really unique places around the world in his book. It's a really cool thing, and we'll talk to him about it on Overnight America KMOX.
Weekday mornings at 8:30, Charlie Brennan and Amy Marks-Kors provide perspective on KMOX and KMOX.com. Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
New York Times bestseller, Atlas Obscura. You may have seen this book. It's so well put together. Joining us now, one of the authors, Dylan Thuris. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
My absolute pleasure.
Just a quick fun thing. How many of these places have you actually visited in the United States that are highlighted from the U.S.?
Yeah, so we started as a website, and people could submit places that they thought were interesting and hidden wonders, and then we would edit them and fact-check them, and that's how the whole thing started. So the website's grown to over 18,000 places, and the book is kind of the distillation of that. It's all the very best places, so there's about 700 of them in the book, and I would estimate I've been to about 200 of them.
Oh.
So a good chunk, but not all of them by any means. So there's plenty of places that I'm still aiming to get to. My co-authors have gone to others, and yeah, absolutely.
One weird place in here from Michigan is Marvin's Marvelous Mechanical Museum.
Oh, sure.
And my sister actually had her wedding there, and it was one of those deals where they apparently, her soon-to-be husband had so many fond memories there. They like opened the place up early, and she did a small wedding there for the family. And then everyone got a bunch of tokens and did stuff after.
That is such a fun place to get married. I love old pinball machines, old arcade games, all of that kind of stuff. So that is like my kind of spot.
There are so many different spots in here. It's amazing. I don't know how many tips you must receive to be able to jam all of those things into a book, but this is the second edition of Atlas Obscura.
Yeah, that's right.
And that you must get a lot of tips of some really unique places all around the world.
We do. We get tons of stuff every day. And sometimes one of the challenges actually is someone will submit a place and it'll just be sort of a photograph and a mysterious sentence. And sometimes it can take us a really long time to track down other kinds of corroborating evidence to try and get kind of the real story of what these places are. So, you know, sometimes the places are so obscure, it can take us a really long time to actually figure out what's going on. But yeah, we get all sorts of places. And one of the nice things is that people seem to really understand the kinds of things we're looking for in the world. You know, 19 yeah. times out of 20, people submit a place and it really fits with what we're interested in.
Did you say you were going to try to visit the City Museum while you're here in St. Louis?
Yes, and I went today.
What'd you think of it?
And I cannot say with greater emphasis, that is one of the greatest places I have ever been.
It's awesome.
It is unlike anything else in the world. It is a truly singular location. I fell in complete and total love. That place is amazing.
Now, I don't know if that one actually made your first edition, but if not, that's going to have to get in there in the future sometime.
It did. Yeah. No, it's in there. Yeah. City Museum is incomparable. And I've been meaning to go there for 10 years. It's funny. I would tell people what I do, and probably, you know, one out of 10 people would say, well, have you ever been to City Museum? And I'd be like, no, not yet. But today that changed. I had such a good time there. And oh my, it's not that often actually that I come across a place that I feel this strongly about. I really loved it. I really, really did.
Well, that makes the trip great altogether. So you came in this morning, Dylan Thuris, joining us here in the second edition of their widely popular book, Atlas Obscura, joining us here on KMOX. Anything else that you had a chance to see in St. Louis?
Oh, not too much. I just walked around a bit, you know, got some great Lebanese food. Mostly I spent my time at the City Museum and preparing for my my event, and I'm doing some school visits as well.
Oh, that's great. And we look at all of these different unique places across the world. What are some of your favorite ones that are included in the second edition?
Yeah, so we got to include a couple of places that we didn't know about when we wrote the first edition, but a place like Pre-Continent 2, which is basically the remains of Jacques Cousteau's first sort of underwater base. And if you're a diver, you can still go down and see these places. Or we included a place in the second edition called the Milky Seas, which are off the coast of the Horn of Africa. And they were discovered sort of almost by accident. In satellite photos, they noticed this enormous area the size of Connecticut that seemed to be glowing. And it turns out to be the largest bioluminescent area in the world. And it so it moves around and kind of shows up in slightly different places, but usually off the Horn of Africa. And so places like that. Or actually, there's another good sort of oceanic spot in the revised edition, the Spacecraft Cemetery. Off the coast of New Zealand is a part of the ocean where satellites are basically permanently retired. They're sent to this sort of area to crash. And so there are hundreds of satellites at the bottom of the ocean in this region, including Mir, the Russian space station, is down there. So these are all some of the kinds of new places, really fun stories that we got to put in the revised book.
This book is no joke. I mean, it's unbelievable how much work goes into putting something like this together. And it's so well put together. The pictures are amazing. It's a heavy book.
Thank you.
You get your money's worth on a book like this because you pick it up and immediately know you're holding something remarkable. I don't know how long it takes to put something like this together, but there must have been, I'm going to guess, 3 million hours put into a book like this.
The first edition, the first book took us about 5 years to make.
Yeah.
So it was not a fast book to make. But the revised edition was a little quicker because we were mostly just adding a few new places. We added about 120 new places and took out some that had closed or were gone for one reason or another. But we're working on another really big book, actually, a kind of book the size of the first book coming out next year, which is called Gastro Obscura.
Oh.
And is the same kind of idea, but focused on the unusual world of food and drink.
Oh, that's cool. So when you go to these schools and talk to the kids, what kind of things do you talk to them about?
One of the things I really try and impart is this idea that incredible wonders are not just, they're not around the world. They're not just in faraway places, that they really are in your own backyard. And that it's really, exploration is not necessarily about getting on a plane, but about adopting a certain kind of curiosity, a framework to look at the world and explore it. And you can do that literally just on your own block. And so that's the kind of the most important message we try and communicate is this idea that you are an explorer, and being an explorer is not about travel really, but about a way of looking at the world.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, you'd get on your bike and you'd ride around the neighborhood with your friends, and it felt like you were exploring. You know, you're seeing things,
yeah,
doing things. You know, if there was in any areas that weren't well populated with homes or whatever, it just felt special to go and do something like that.
Totally, and that's because as a kid, you really are still open. You're still very kind of seeking and curious about the world. As you get older, your brain starts taking a lot of shortcuts and ignoring the things that you think you know and are familiar with. And I think that's why travel works well to reset your framework, is because it kind of forces your brain to wake up and it gives you a new set of eyes to see the world. But you can really do it in your own city. Most of us have barely scratched the surface of the places we live.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I encourage people to go exploring some of the more unusual places, you know, maybe in their 50-mile radius of where they live.
Atlas Obscura's second edition is out now, An Explorer's Guide to the World's Hidden Wonders. And one of the authors, Dylan Thuris, will continue our conversation with him next on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Dylan Thuris, one of the authors of Atlas Obscura. The second edition is out now, which you can find, a New York Times bestseller. Really fascinating, awesome book. And that was new for me. I moved to St. Louis about 2.5 years ago. And my wife and I have a soon-to-be 5-year-old. We did a lot of exploring around the town, and we found there were so much fun things to do in our city and different things to try out that we've never seen in some of the smaller areas we live. So that's fun. I like the idea of finding the things that are close to you, because so often we get so tucked into the same thing. We do the same thing over and over and over, and we feel like we're, I don't want to use the word laziness, but it's like you just don't feel the energy to go and try something new. You got to shake that off. There's so many cool things out there.
You get a little bit blind to wherever you live. You get a little bit blind to it. And sometimes it's really worth pretending that you are a tourist in your own city and doing things that you think are corny or you think that you don't need to do. It can be surprising how enjoyable that can be, and the things that you discover in the process.
So let's say you get a submission and you're always looking for these different unique places. Have you ever had something come across your email that you said, this is truly unbelievable, it can't be true, and then through some research you find out it is actually true?
Yeah, there was a place we got in the first 3 months of starting the site. Someone wrote to us and they said, I have a bed and breakfast in Cherrapunji, India, north of India. And it's a really, really wet region, so they get tons and tons of rain there. And they went on to explain that there were these bridges there that weren't built out of wood, but actually grown from the roots of two trees. And they were woven together, and they formed these living root bridges. And I'm reading this email, and so the first thing I do is I start Googling, I'm looking for anything. I can't find anything about these. I start to, I go to the library, and, eventually I do turn up some evidence that these are in fact real and I'm not just getting my leg pulled. And it turns out that these are very much completely real. And part of the email basically went on to say that they were in danger of disappearing because no one knew about them. No one was traveling to them. And over the last 10 years, that has really changed. And so now they're being taken care of. There's a sustainable tourism industry around seeing these living root bridges. And so that was a place that I really thought someone was playing a practical joke on me.
Wow.
And it turned out to be completely true.
Yeah, and you feel like some of these different attractions that people start picking up on, just in the last couple of months, you saw those stories of people that climbed Everest, and it's so crowded. People are, they could die up there because they're waiting in line to get to the summit to take a selfie or whatever, and they're waiting so long in that high altitude. So do you feel like sometimes with books like these and the way that people are discovering them, I'm trying to think of the right way to put this. Is it like, it used to be cool before everyone else knew about it? Like, there's some places that may have been tainted because it was a hidden place before and now everyone knows about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. But here's what I see. There are places that are completely being crushed by tourism, being sort of overrun, really, really badly affected by over-tourism. But I also see the flip side of this, which is I see all of these places, these incredible locations. This guy in Wisconsin built his own planetarium, Kovacs Planetarium, giant spherical device that he made. And he painted every star by hand, and he had to close it because he couldn't get enough people there. And if Atlas Obscura has one kind of goal in the world, one mission, I think it's to take people out of these kind of major tributaries, take them away from the places that are being damaged by tourism and bring them to these incredible, unbelievable locations that could really benefit from having a few more people and a few more dollars in the door. That is our really reason to exist in the world. And the more we succeed at that, I think the more people have wonderful travel experiences and the more that these great, amazing places continue to survive.
Dylan Thuris, one of the authors of Atlas Obscura, the second edition out now. How does this not have like a Netflix special where you go around traveling, checking these places out, and you'd have to get some sort of, you know, like 90s celebrity, someone that's not Vanilla Ice, but, you know, someone that would go around and visit all these spots that you have in the book. Seriously, how is that not done yet?
Like, peruse the book. Like, that would be our 90s, like, star. we're working on it. We're working on it.
Oh, that'd be great. I mean, there's so much potential in that. And there's so many travel shows that are boring. I like the ones that are focusing on the unique and the ones that have something special into them, you know. Well, if people wanted to check out the book, I'm sure it's on Amazon, but where can they find it?
You should be able to find it at your indie bookstore near you, Left Hand Books, any other indie store. You can find it on our publisher site, Workman, and, of course, in the other usual places. But I strongly encourage picking up a copy at your local bookstores. Local bookstores are gems that bring more to the communities that they inhabit than almost any other kinds of stores. So strong recommendation there.
Atlas Obscura, the second edition, an explorer's guide to the world's hidden wonders. Just a really remarkable book. It feels good. It smells good. It's like one of those, I don't know about you, I like the smell of a new book. And this one, it's just, it smells right. It's just, because you got the full color illustrations and everything and the pictures inside, which kind of bumps this book up into its own class. It's very expensive to print a book with as many color photos as you have in this one. So you're holding something very special. You know it as soon as you pick up a book like this. Author Dylan Thuris, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you for having me, Ryan. It was great talking with you.
And he joins us on the Quiver River Electric KMOX guest line. He said he's going to have to come back to St. Louis. And he said he's going to go talk to some school kids while he's in town, which is kind of cool that when you have these national authors in town that they go and spend some time at the schools to, I guess, try to enlist the creativity of the kids that may be there that may think, they got nothing creative to give to the world. But you know what? All you need to do is sometimes excite that part of their brain, and then it just comes out in them. 436-7900 is the number. Spoiler alert, I'm going to give you the score of the game tonight between the Astros and the Yankees. The Astros beat the Yankees 8-3, so now they're out 3-1. So if the Astros get one more win, that means they move on to the World Series to take on the Nationals, not the Cardinals. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
So there's only one real answer to this question. When is it officially Halloween? I know when it's officially Halloween. Something has to happen before it officially becomes Halloween. Do you have something that has to happen first, Producer Mike? Is there anything that you can think of that needs to happen before Halloween actually starts? Any one thing?
You have to carve your jack-o'-lantern.
Oh, that's pretty good. Good answer, good answer. Not the answer I was looking for, but it's a good answer. Do you still carve jack-o'-lanterns?
The extended Anderson family has an annual pumpkin carving and fall party. Yeah, it's great.
How many different family parties do you guys have?
We have a pumpkin carving party, we have a Christmas party, and we have a float trip, and that's all that my dad's side does.
Just Fourth those, of July?
Just those three. Nope, not on my dad's side.
That's on your other side. Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty good. That's a lot of family get-togethers. For me, it's officially Halloween as soon as ABC airs It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. And the official air date has been released. It's going to be on Sunday, October 27th at 6 p.m. Central here in St. Louis on ABC. So the 27th is a week from this Sunday. And I'm going to be here at work, but I'm really going to be watching ABC. It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. In fact, maybe I'll record it on one of the DVRs in the studio, and then I'll just play it on a loop through that overnight. What a good idea. Maybe we'll just, instead of airing Overnight America that night, we'll just air the Charlie Brown special. I'm so happy that some of those traditions still stand. Some of those traditions. You know what? I read this online. There's so many different things to be aware of anymore. How many different articles did you find? If you see this on Halloween, make sure to do this. Or if you see this, make sure to do this. Or if this light's on and this one's not. Or if this is pumpkins out. Or if this colored thing is over here. Or this light is turned off over there. There's so many different codes for Halloween. It's so hard to keep up. I don't even know all of them. And I don't know if that makes me insensitive. I don't think it does. But I found this story at CBS News. It said, a mom looking to make her son's Halloween a better experience wanted to let people know. So last year, she explained to every house on the block for five blocks that her son was a nonverbal autistic child. So he carries a blue bucket to signify that he has autism. And that is to cue the people that may be handing out candy that night that he's not able to say trick or treat, but he still wants to participate. So don't try to give the kid a hard time, essentially, is what the mom's trying to set up, because she wants it to be a fun night for her kid, which is really awesome and admirable that she's gone through all of that trouble to give him that very special fun night. Well, as it turns out, it's become a universal thing anymore. When you see that blue bucket, it means that there is some sort of, you know, thing the kid's working through. So don't give him a hard time. That's kind of a cool story. I saw that. I don't know how many different codes there are. Can I tell you one of the things that were really distressing in my neighborhood? This is sad. So we were driving through the neighborhood, just as we normally do as a family. And here we are, the Wrecker family in the car. And my wife said, stop the car! We stopped the car. She said, back up. Did you see that? I thought I hit a squirrel. No, back up. She points down one of the blocks in the neighborhood. She says, look at that for sale sign on that house. I'm like, well, we don't know them. We don't know anyone that lives down here. She said, don't you remember last Halloween? That was the house that gave out the full-size candy bars. The one house that gives out the full-size candy bars. They're leaving the neighborhood. I hope they're still here for Halloween. I hope they're still here. But no, we got there and the house was awesome. You know, the guy's sitting out there, you know, Halloween is a very special time for him. And he has like all of these decorations, and you know, he spent some cash on it. And he's got his older son out there too. And you make it all the way to the front porch. And they say, if you're one of the kids brave enough to make it this far, you get a full-size candy bar. My kid didn't understand the concept of a full-size candy bar. He's never had a full-size candy bar. We've never purchased a full-size candy bar for him. The only candy bar he's ever had, Halloween time when it's given to him. And I remember I talked about this last year. I was 100% convinced that full-size candy bars were fake news. I thought, no way anyone gives out full-size candy bars. That is just one of those urban legends that some kids make up to make the other kids jealous. Oh, yeah, I go down the street and they give out full-size candy bars. I don't believe it. That sounds so great. And the kid's lying. I always imagined they're just saying that to try to drum up attention for themselves, like they're so special that they got the full-size candy bar. That never happens. Little Jimmy, that never happens. But apparently it does, and some people actually give out full-size candy bars. So if you have one of those on the block, this is what I want you to do this year. I want you to thank them. Say, please don't move out of this neighborhood. Full-size candy bar house, please, please never go. My eagle eye wife, she noticed that we're talking blocks down. She sees this thing. I think just like anyone else, you notice the for sale signs that pop up in your neighborhood, because then you immediately go online. I want to see what it looks like inside that house. Ooh, I wonder how much it goes for. What's the sale price? Because you're always matching them up with your home and you're wondering if that helps the value of your home. Oh yeah, if they're going for that, then we can go for this. 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. And Halloween's pretty fun. In fact, I think I'm going to be off Halloween night this year. We're going to actually have our friend John in, John Lindsay, who you heard last year when we brought him through the building and we did the ghost hunting, and I just had so much fun with it. And he said, oh, we should come back for Halloween this year. We're going to have him on Halloween Eve in the studio for 2 hours, and we're going to tell ghost stories. And he's going to do something very special. He's going to talk about some experiences he's had, and he's going to make up some. And we have to determine if they're real or not. Fact or fiction, ghost story. And he also said if you want to call in your own ghost stories, he will give his expert opinion on what he thinks is going on inside your own home or maybe something you have seen in the past. And we'll have plenty of spooky music. You better believe the Monster Mash all night long. We might play the Monster Mash in and out of every single break. That's it. Only Monster Mash. Let's just do 4 hours of that. But that's going to be on Halloween Eve this year. Yeah, if you know of anyone that gives out full-size candy bars, you need to really find a way to make them feel special. I mean, you have to encourage them to never give that up. That's every kid's dream to find a full-size candy bar. I mean, that changes things. I'm in my 30s, and I still think back to when I was a kid, and I've never, ever, ever, ever received a full-size candy bar. And still to this day, I thought it was a lie until people called me and said, no, it actually has happened. I really thought it was a lie. It took me until I had my 4-year-old son trick-or-treating that I realized that there were people in this world that actually would do that. You know what I saw? And this is actually really cool. I saw KSDK do a story about Lion's Choice. They give out wooden coins. Did you know you can go to Lion's Choice? You can buy a pack of these 25 wooden coins. And these wooden coins you bring into Lion's Choice. And they could redeem them for a kid's cone. They're a quarter kid's cone. You know, you get the coin for a quarter, whatever, and they go and redeem it. You buy them in you buy them in 25 coins for $5. Kind of a cool thing. I'm a big Lion's Choice fan. I got my parents coming in next week. There's a few places I know we're going to take them. Lion's Choice is one of them. The other place, my son has a favorite place to eat. And when my dad had his birthday not that long ago, my son said he wanted to give my dad a very special birthday gift. And I said, oh, that's really nice. You want to think about grandpa and get him a gift? I said, what do you want to get him? He said, Jimmy John's. Oh, happy birthday, Grandpa. Here's Jimmy John's. So I said, okay, when they're in town for your birthday, we'll take them to your favorite place and get them a sandwich. And since it's past midnight, we're getting really close to midnight. I want to make sure you have the opportunity to call in, talk about whatever you want to talk about. Here's the phone number. It's 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. If you want to talk about full-size candy bars, we can talk about that too as we get close. You want to talk about anything, really. In the next hour, I want to talk about this one story Fox 2 put up. And they did another great You Paid For It segment about the decorative street lights on Martin Luther King Boulevard. What a waste of money. According to some, others will defend and say it's well worth your money. I don't think so. So we're going to play and talk about that segment, too. Did you hear about that Wheel of Fortune contestant that made the joke about his family earlier this week? Now, that's a little bit something. KSDK has a meteorologist that was body shamed, and I thought, oh, come on now. So then I watched the video, and I thought, are they playing this up a little too much? I mean, it's got national attention. I think even the Today Show covered our local meteorologist here on KSDK. You might be playing this up just a little bit. Just a little bit. I feel like I have to pour a little cold water on this one, and I feel pretty bad to do that because, you know, you normally shouldn't do that for things like, oh, body shaming. But either way, we'll take some of your text messages, your calls, and I want to thank everyone that has texted on, like Tammy, who said, if you don't turn your heat on until November, then when do you turn your AC on? Good question. There's a certain point where I know my wife gets really angry. That's when I know it's time to turn it on. So I got a pretty good understanding when that is. It's just got to play it by ear. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.